Hi, I'm Desmond Arnell Manaba, and you're watching the Marcus Deegan Show.
The Marcus Deegan Show. What's the story, guys? Welcome to another episode of the pod. I'm your host, Marcus Deegan, shooting from Sin City. Everyone says, why do you always keep telling everyone that you shoot from Sin City? Well, because I do, and it's the greatest place on freaking earth. And if you haven't been here, you need to get here. And if you haven't been here, then you need to shush because you don't know what you're talking about. Come to Vegas, experience what I experience every day. And by the way, I'm shooting right next door to the UFC Apex. So if I want to run across there and get smacked in the head really early in the morning to wake myself up, I do that. Come over here and have a couple of bumps with George. No, a couple of cups of coffee with George. And then we get straight into the podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. If you are listening on Spotify, which actually now you can view on Spotify in 4K crisp, clear quality, the Marcus Deegan Show, or YouTube. Guys, we're trying to build the YouTube channel up, so I'm please asking if you can like, share, subscribe. Look, we put in a lot of effort into the studio and this amazing content that we put out. We don't ask to pay for it. We just ask for a bit of support. Thanks for joining us. It's Saturday morning here. It's fight day. There's a lot to talk about. You know, so when I prepare for my guests, you know, I'll sit at home and I'll learn about them and I'll write a few things down, and I'm pretty good when it comes to, you know, putting together a bunch of really great facts. And then, of course, my guest sends me a bunch of notes this morning, so to speak, that just blew mine out of the way. So I'm gonna run over those a little bit later on in the podcast because the accolades are just tremendous, and there's a few things in there that I want to get into this young man's head and find out about. So I'm really happy to have him on the show, and I've got to be honest, I don't really know too much about this young man, but that's going to change. Would you welcome to the podcast, I like Desmond's name, Desi Fresh. What's the story, brother?
I got that in high school.
How?
You know that Rihanna song, Shine Bright Like a Diamond?
Yeah.
Like, someone just like reminded me of it, and it's like, oh, you're Desi Fresh.
Is that your walkout song?
No. It's like my walkout song is like, we don't play by Styles P usually. Or like.
By who?
Styles P.
Styles P.
That's new to me.
Yeah, that's new to me, mate.
He's one of the three, one of the members of the Lox. So I don't know if you guys heard of them.
Nah, I haven't heard of him either. I'm an old man.
So the Lox were like to my opinion, one of the greatest rap groups ever. It's Styles P, Jadakiss, and Sheik Looch. They were part of like that Bad Boy era and then Rough Rider era too, which like the music I grew up on as a kid.
How old are you?
25.
Yeah, see, I got to get, you know, I don't normally like to ask people's their age off the bat, but I had another young man that was 25 years old on the podcast the other day. And when he did reveal his age to me, I was completely blown away. I had no idea that he was that old because he was so mature and so put together and so well-spoken. It was good to see from the generation of, what should we say, dickheads that we have these days in this generation. you can answer that. So where do you get your fighting spirit from, bro? Where do you, what makes you want to do what you do?
I'm just, since a kid, I've just been super hyper competitive in everything I do. Mm. So even if it's like, even if we're just playing like a simple game, like pickleball, like my brother beat me in pickleball like 10-2. And, like, I still lose sleep over that shit.
So you still lose sleep?
I still lose sleep because, like, losing to him, he's the most unathletic one out of, the like, all my brothers. And so, like, losing to him is just, it irritates me.
So that's where it started then, I'd say. You just clicked on it then. Brothers. How many brothers do you have?
I have three. I'm the oldest one.
You're the oldest one?
Yeah.
So does any of them take after you? Do they all want to be like their big brother?
I don't think so. They're all different in their respective ways. Like my brother Dimitri Manabat, he's really big in the poetry scene right now.
Nice.
And so he has a show coming up in Salt Lake, I believe on next week, I believe Sunday.
Nice. Nice. Oh, one of those where they get up and they say beautiful poetry in front of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, his poetry is very, like that poetry made me, his poetry makes me cry.
Nice. So. Well, that's too sides of the spectrum, isn't it? One brother kicks ass for a living. The other one tells poetry. Yeah.
And then the third one, he used to be a high-level gymnast. And then the youngest one, he's 12.
So yeah.
He does swim, engineering.
So talent comes in, runs in the family then?
Yeah.
You guys are Hawaiian, right?
Filipino-Mexican with a little bit of a aloha like influence.
It's funny. Sometimes I get confused with the tattoos because the Polynesian tattoos and the Filipino tattoos, they all look very, very similar. Like that looks kind of Samoan, Polynesian, and then there's the Kiwi ones, but they're all beautiful tattoos. Yeah.
If you know anything about like Filipino history, so before the Spaniards took over, the third wave of that was the Polynesians.
Right.
So they used to call us like the painted people when we were at war with them. So like that has a lot of influence, but since the Spaniards took over, that's kind of been like a little bit of a lost history, but our generation now is kind of bringing it back to light.
I have a lot of Filipino friends. I really like my Filipino brothers and sisters. I dated a Filipino girl once.
How was that?
Fucking, she was crazy. She was batshit crazy.
Well, Desmond, tell them about your mom.
Okay, that wasn't a mother joke. He was away. No. Hey, man, tell us about your mom, bro.
Hey, listen, listen, listen. Desmond is very open. His mom is one of the most awesome people in the world. She's
with a little bit of crazy in it.
My mom's Mexican, so she's fucking insane.
Oh well, my fiance is Mexican, so yeah, I can attest to that.
Yeah, they're saying it a good way. They love you. Mm-hmm. Want the best for you.
And we'll take care of you and look after you big time. There's nothing like a Latino mom or a Latino wife to take care of their man, because that's what they really do.
Yeah.
So, man, I was reading a bunch of the stuff that you sent me, and I thought it was really great that you know, you've done so many things in your young life, 25 years. Nominated for Knockout of the Year. That, by that flying knee, that's got to be, that has to feel good. Is there a plaque for that? Do you have a t-shirt for that? Did you get a tattoo that says, read this, fucker, before you mess with me? Because Knockout of the Year by a flying knee, what a sensational accolade.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, sometimes I forget that happened because I'm just so, like, in the present.
Yeah. Oh, you know, oh, really? Okay, so you don't think about the past?
Mm-mm. No. Like, it happened.
And you probably don't think about the future either, right?
I try not to think so far ahead. I like to have, like, a timeline of things.
Yeah.
But I try not to think too far ahead.
Yeah, that sounds very, very similar to me. For most of my, and it kind of changes when you get a little bit older, that for most of my life, I just lived in the present, in the moment, and never thought for one second that I'd be sitting here at 53 when I was having these thoughts at 30, just fucking living in the moment and just being an absolute maniac and not even thinking it for a second. So even though I'd say you do feel that way now, which is a good way to feel, that may change in the future. But just circling back to what I was saying, yeah, the Knockout, great achievement, right? So you're 3-3 and currently on a 2-win fight streak. And both of those were by knockout too, right? One was the trip with the ground and pound, and the other one was the head kick.
The trip with the ground and pound, that one went to decision.
Right.
And then the last one I just had by knockout in the first round.
And you've only been doing this since 2016, right?
Right, yeah. But I had like a karate background since I was 5.
Right.
So like martial artist my whole life.
Yeah.
But when track and field wasn't working out, I just decided to do it. So fuck it.
You're Vegas born and bred.
Yeah.
You were probably born at Sunrise Hospital, right?
Fuck, I don't even know.
Okay. But so this is what you would call, in sense, a bio, right? A biography that you would have on your website or on your, you know, that, you know, your inspirations, your aspirations, that your achievements, right? Mm-hmm. Things that people can look at. But one thing that kind of, it kind of broke my heart a little bit here when I read this. And, you know, first of all, you're also fighting in different weight categories, which is also impressive. And we're going to talk about that, how it feels to be smashing people at 145. But it says here that the 145 title that you won, you had won it after your dad unexpectedly passed away. Chokes me up even saying it. Passed away due to COVID. I'm just curious to know, that's a really personal thing to have on your bio. What inspired you to want to share that with people? Because to me, not only does it show someone that's incredibly strong in the mind, but, you know, someone that really loved their father a lot as well. What was your main inspiration to having that in your bio?
I guess the main one was I share both of his names. So Ornell being my middle name and then obviously the last name. But sharing that is just, everyone wants to share the highlights and like the glitz, the glamour, but like to me that's not real. Yeah, my dad passing away, I easily could have just pulled out of that fight. No one would have said anything. But I already signed the contract, and then he taught me at a very young age, like be a man of your word, have integrity. And I kind of already went through something like that similar where I had a breakdown when my aunt passed away when I was young.
You were close to her?
Yeah, she was like a second mom to me.
Right, yeah.
But my
that was your first person you'd ever experienced dying?
No, I've been dealing with death since like 7, 8. The first one I can remember was my cousin's first girlfriend. She died at like 18.
It's a lot for a young man to have to bear at such a young age. So do you say in that you, like when that happened to dad, and I know it's a rough thing, you kind of stepped up and had to be the man of the family then?
I want to say, honestly, because through that whole situation, it was like a shit show going on. The youngest brother was in the hospital. The fucking dogs are dying. My dad's in the UMC.
Oh,
like,
dude.
It was just like all three. And then my Saints lost that day. So I was like, bro.
Fuck oh, this. Man. Fuck the Saints. God damn
it.
You had to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was just, you know, he died that Friday. Because through that whole process, they were just telling us, like, he's doing better. And now he's got to be on a ventilator. And then the day he died, they told us to come in because, like, he's probably not going to make it. And then the shittiest part about it was, like, I can't even, like, touch him or hold his hand. Because during those times, like, everything had to be, like, distance, especially in the hospitals. Like, they had put a glass wall up. And so it was just me, my mom, and the second brother. And then we were just cracking jokes. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know he still grow hair at the time. Like, because he was bald, like, since I'd known him, but he was growing, like, hella hair. So I was like, oh, why don't you just grow it out?
Yeah. I lost my dad at the same time.
I'm sorry.
And I know what you mean by the whole not being able to touch, because it leaves a sense of unfinished business. You didn't get to kiss or hug your dad before. And it was the same for me. I couldn't go home to Australia because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get that either. So I can definitely empathize with you. Of course, I sympathize with you as well, because it's hard to go through at a young age. But I suppose just know that you did that. You didn't pull out of that fight. You could have pulled out of that fight. Most people would have pulled out of that fight, okay? Most people would have.
I was actually pissed when the promotion I was fighting for found out that he died, because it was just like, because if I had lost, I didn't want that to be the reason.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, is he there mentally? Or like, oh, he just, because I also had COVID too, so.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even really have a camp. I was just running, sparring as much as I could. And I was like, and I was doing like some shoulder injuries as well too.
So do you think, like, in a sense that your dad passing away like that kind of gave you some strength, because my dad just died. Fucking COVID's not going to fucking get me. No camp's not going to get me. There's nothing you can do to fucking hurt me now. It's all been done. Fucking throw whatever at me and I'm still going to fucking beat you. Do you reckon it gave you a bit of that spirit?
No, it was more of him always telling me chase my dreams. And then, you know, no matter what happens, like, still go after it. Cause he always told me at a young age, like, don't be like him. Like, if you're going to chase your dreams, like, do it all the way. Don't be like me and half-ass it, you know? Because then he ended up having a family. He couldn't really, like, he had priorities, like, he had to take care of. So he couldn't really put himself aside and just chase the dreams. He put us first.
Sounds like a good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe your dad and my dad right now know that this podcast is going on and they're getting together on the other side going, look at our sons down. Look at our sons down there. Fuck, every time I start doing this podcast, I just said to Lana before, George, what's going on with me? Like, I'm getting so emotional in my old age, and I don't even drink alcohol.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty emotional, though, man. Like, that's pretty similar, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. It's like...
It's good, though.
It's okay to cry, Marcus. No. I cry all the time, bro. Yeah. I just do it in the car or the shower.
Yeah.
You're doing it live on a podcast. It's okay.
Pulled up in the corner. No, but, you know, I've had... Look, I suppose it's just human nature, and I had a podcast not long ago, the one that actually you just released for me yesterday, George, and the two young dudes that I had on, which are fucking badass fighters, their dads had passed away, and then that's how they got close together. And then when they came on my podcast and all three of us talked about it, it actually is healing to talk about things like that.
Oh, for sure.
You can't keep that kind of stuff in, right?
You can't, like, because other people just either drink their feelings away, or like end up doing hardcore drugs instead of like talking about it. You know,
yeah.
I don't know why, as men specifically, we don't like to talk about things.
What do you think that is?
I don't know. Maybe like ego.
There's a stigma that we're supposed to be a certain way, and fuck, if you don't live up to that as a man, it can definitely have some psychological issues when you're not living to that standard of what a man is supposed to be. Who do you look up to? Like, and I know you've sent them to me, but name a couple of people that really just inspire the fuck out of you and you just go, yes.
Kobe Bean Bryant first one.
Oh, how was that for you, man? There's another fucking devastating loss to the world.
I remember where I was at when he died, man. Like, I was at work and then someone had told me and then I was just crying, like, on stand because I was lifeguarding at the time. Just crying on stand. And then I believe, like, Nipsey Hussle died that same year, right, too, cried. And then DMX passed, bro. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah. Who passed away that made you cry, George?
It was at the time I was young. Michael Jackson kind of threw me through a loop because I was just starting to, like, listen to music a lot. And I was like, damn, this can happen, you know? So that one was pretty bad. Oh, man. As far as, like, deaths go, to me, when I see, like, celebrities pass, I'm always, like, a little, like, hurt by it. Yeah. But it's the family ones for me that really resonate and stick out the most.
But you've still got both your parents there, right?
I do. Knock on wood.
God,
you know?
Bless.
Yes. Yeah. But the you know, grandparents, the Hispanic families really take care of one another, like, later in life. Very important. So, yeah, like, I always get more attached to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kobe Bryant, I was in California when that one happened. I actually wasn't too far from where it was at, and I got the news. I was like, whoa. Legend, man.
Legend.
Inspire.
Louis Anderson was a tough one for me because he was a buddy of mine for many years. Good old Louis. But hey, if you believe in what I believe in, This is just a semi-permanent part of our existence, guys. This is just, we're actually spirit testing out being human. This isn't who we are. We all know that, right? There's more to this flesh than us. There's more to it. This isn't the end. This is literally just the beginning, really. And if you look at it like that, it can be rather exciting. And I believe we'll all see each other in the future. Anyway, let's change the subject. Let's get to some fucking knockouts.
You ready to watch this one?
Yeah, I want to watch it. So can you just, which clip? You can see the clip there. Can you just set this clip up before we play it there, Desi Fresh? You can see it on the computer right there that's in front of Jorge.
I'm going to play from the walkout.
Okay.
I'll play the music low.
Wow. Was he trying to intimidate you there?
I didn't even see that he had that mask before. Everyone said he did, but I guess.
Nice. Nah, he had nothing for you. Nice leg kick, falls over, gets straight up straight away. Switch his stance. I like how you switch your stance. Thanks, circles around. Fly knee. Good night. It's all over. He jumps in the knee, connects right on the jaw. He's out. Good night, sweetheart. His mother's crying in the audience right now. The Filipino take his accolades. Look at this young man go. That's how I'd be doing it. Yeah. I love it. Nice.
Shout out to Fitness Junkies for going out there fucking filming that shit right there, brother. That was dope. That was dope. We actually got to film that whole night, Marcus. And we filmed him in his fight camp as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like a surreal moment for, like, the Junkies brand, you know. We didn't have Fight Junkies at the time. That's why I was on Fitness Junkies.
So you were there?
Yeah, me and Austin. We were both filming. We filmed Desmond in the back. I'll pull up that little segment.
So how does it feel when you watch that, Desi Fresh? Once again, you don't live in the past, right?
I don't know, man. Like, it feels good. Don't get me wrong, but, like,
let's.
I don't know. It's like, whatever.
It's like on to the next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I am who I say I am, so I'm not really surprised.
Yeah, that's good. I love that attitude. I fucking love it because, you know, there's not, I mean, let's think about who's got some flying knee knockouts in their mixed martial arts career that are in the big leagues. Well, for one, obviously Jorge Masvidal. He's got the most iconic one. Who else was there? I think that
Dan Hooker has some crazy knee knockouts.
Yep, I think Anderson Silva had a couple good ones too, and also Johnny Walker.
Mm-hmm.
he's a tall, very tall, large-kneed, long-legged man. So, you know, having one of his knees crunching into your head is no joke. Yeah. What do we got here now, George? Georgie, baby.
So we had the flying knee.
The flying knee, and then there was the...
Was Austin the last one?
No.
It was Kobe?
No, that was my pro debut.
If someone says to you, hey, show me one of your fights, which one do you always show them? Is there one particular one that stands out to you? I know, it's nothing special, but is there one particular one? Like, I have a particular podcast that I love, even though they're all fucking sensational. There's three, but apart from that, it's just all Yahoo. Which is one of your favorites?
Probably either the 35 title fight when I was an amateur or my amateur debut.
The amateur debut
I lost.
But it's still one of your favorite fights.
Yeah, because that was the arrogant kid.
This one?
Who wanted it? Yeah.
Now, how long did that fight go for?
It was like 2 rounds. It's when I had the braids in. I think I was like 18, 19.
So what promotion is this under? Oh, yeah, I know this guy. This is Tough Enough, right?
Yeah, that's Uncle Bernard.
Yeah.
Uncle Justin.
Yeah. He's from the Philippines as well, isn't he?
Nah, he pump faked that shit. He's Hawaiian.
So he said he was Filipino?
He inferred that he was Filipino, but then I asked him about it. He's like, nah, bro, I'm from Hawaii. I was like, bro, you making me think you're Filipino this whole time.
Yeah, I like the Tough Enough promotion.
I do too.
Yeah, I like the Tough Enough promotion. I really do. They've got their. I wish they'd do a lot more events.
Yeah, it's hard. They were trying to do one in January, but everyone was like, oh, the holidays.
Yeah, right. All right, here we go. So this is the young man in the dreads right here. Yeah,
it was like 6 months off of training.
You had 6 months off?
No, like 6 months off training. Sorry.
Oh, 6 months off training. And when did you... What do you think it was that gave him the advantage over you in this fight?
Experience.
Oh, nice. Oh, just experience. So he caught you with that right hand there, but you took him down. That was great. A lot of power on top. Gets into half guard and then tries to... Nice. Was he strong to you?
Yeah, man. I was like, oh, fuck, this guy's strong as shit.
Now, that was going to be my question. When did you realize, uh-oh, hang on a minute, this guy's a bit stronger than I thought?
Like, right here.
Right
but
here?
I also didn't know what I was doing for real either. Like,
so hang on. So this is your first fight ever?
Yeah.
Okay, guys, here we go. This is the first... I mean, come on, don't...
But you know, to want to show it.
But you know what it is, though? Guys, this is what people don't understand, and I'm sure that you'll agree with me on this one. This is all fucking experience in the ring. Mm-hmm. You need this. You have to have this. Me, on the other hand, I just sit behind a fucking desk and talk to people. What do I know? So how was your cardio in this? Like, when did you start feeling the heart really racing?
After the first round. I had like an adrenaline dump.
Yes. Now, how do you control that as an athlete?
Right now, just the conditioning aspect, like the sparring
session. Oh, that was nice, Dez. Come on, mate. Head kick fired down with the fucking right hand. Beautiful. Back to his feet. That was a big kick to the head, though. That seems like it's one of your fucking big weapons that you got there, young man.
Yeah.
I love it. Schoonmaker, Montabot, though, unfazed by that, still pressing forward. Looking to scoop that leg. So we're going to talk about that. Where, what part of the leg hit is to hit what part of the head to, ooh. Tries to
elevate, does. Nice little scramble.
Yeah, that was. Nice. I mean, listen, you showed a lot of overall skill in this first fight of yours. You showed a lot. Good stand-up, good ground game, great work with the legs.
Second round was about to be like shit cardio and like cracks under pressure.
I'm trying to build it up over here, and Mr. Humble is just tearing himself down. But it's good. I like the humility, and I like that you can look back and laugh on it. And anyone that likes to take the piss or make fun out of someone that does this for a living has never done this for a living.
Yeah.
Because people don't fucking make fun of other people that are in this industry, right?
I ended up in the ER that night.
After this? Yeah. What was the injury?
It took me in the... Because I also didn't know how to cut weight, really.
Oh, okay.
So I was, like, dehydrated, too. So they gave me an IV in the ambulance. And then while I was in there, I was like, do I really want to do this? And then once I got, like, liquids in me, I was like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I was, like, pissed when I walked in. I was like, this is bullshit. Because he was out on his feet the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, you did well that first round. So you're a bit tight here, young Desmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would have, if that had a land, nice. Oh, nice. Look
what?
At that.
Wait, hold on. That was, what was, the fuck?
Was that a, what they call that a question? Was that a reverse question mark kick?
No, it was like a front side heel kick.
Front side. Oh, my. Beautiful.
Jesus.
Really, really good, man.
Right there. Yeah, and then lost right here. And then mount, I worked on like the very next week. You'll see it right here.
Good ground and pound game.
Yeah, he hit hard like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, you've done really, really well. Like, I can see why it's your favorite fight because it was an all round. You know, submissions were tried, takedowns were tried. What were you trying to do here? Just fucking
get him a triangle.
Yeah.
But he's, I was too, you're too close.
Yeah, right.
Right there. And then. Nice job staying in top position. Yeah. He's got full mount. This is a bad spot for Monobot. Yeah, see.
Did he pronounce your name right?
Kind of. They pronounce it like the American version, which is fine. Right there.
Yeah. But hey, listen, he won the fight, but I don't think he fucking beat you, my guy. There's a huge difference.
For sure.
Do you agree with me on that, George?
Oh, my God. The live odds would definitely be in your favor, my friend.
Fuck yeah. That was amazing, bro. Wow, I'm fucking impressed. Really, I am. You have a huge future. What's the goal?
I have a lot of goals. Like, I want to be a pay-per-view star like Manny was, like, but for MMA. Obviously there's a big wave of Filipinos like coming into combat sports, like slowly but surely. I feel like we're gonna, you know, like Brazilians or like Russians, there's always like that one trend. I feel like Filipinos are gonna sneak up on everybody and then we're just gonna take over. Honestly, help out the city of Las Vegas as much as I can and then show the kids that you could really do anything, even though if, like, you come from the city.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of people just get stuck in either the party lifestyle, hotel gigs.
You don't party?
Not anymore. I got that out when in high school.
You don't drink?
Not really.
Smoke weed?
Occasionally, but more of an edible guy. It's more for sleep because I have trouble sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a girlfriend?
Oh.
And you still see all your family when you're here?
Yeah. They're all out here.
Yeah. How's your mom when it comes to you fighting?
She fucking hates it.
Mom, I always ask this question because I'm always curious to know the mothers, like, seeing their born sons being belted in them. But, I mean, fucking seeing a fight like that, that was really, really impressive.
Nah, she hates it. Like, because I didn't come up, like, we grew up like very middle class, and she's a teacher, so she, like, dug her way out of poverty through education and through, like, the schooling system and all that. And so when I told her I wanted to fight, she's just like, why? I was like, man, you're just mad. I don't have to go to college. And, like, I could do this shit because, you know, I could be the best at it. And this is before I had a fight. Like, it's just me talking out my ass and just believing in myself.
So you believe that anyway?
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe I could do it.
Where do you get that mindset from? Is it just natural? Just come, do you even have to force it? You just automatically have that mindset?
Yeah, just the competitiveness.
Like, the competitiveness. Yeah, that's right. Because a lot of people have to work on that. Like, mindset is something that you have to, it's a skill, believe it or not. It's not just a thought, it's a skill, and you seem to have that. And I find that guys that have gone through a bit of trauma younger in life and then want to make something of themselves tend to have a stronger mindset and achievement goals. Something about pain that's very strengthening, you know?
No, for sure. It's the right amount. Or just coming up as a kid, it was always, when I was doing like karate tournaments, it was like I was always shorter. Like, they were like, oh, he's not strong, fast. And I always beat him.
Yeah.
So it was just like that. But what really clicked, it was like, when I was 16, 17, there was like this weird combat sambo thing that we did. It was a random tournament. Like, there's a weird rule, like weird rule set.
Yeah.
But I think that what's got it started, and she saw that, and then she was just like, nah.
Yeah. So How long do you think it's going to take you? When do you plan on getting in? When do you plan on fighting in the UFC?
I'm just taking my time right now, honestly.
Does Dana know who you are? Has he seen you at all? Have you sent any of your stuff to him?
I doubt he knows who I am for real.
Yeah, there's a lot of talented mixed martial artists, but hey, you're in the right place for it, right?
No, for sure.
As far as opportunity goes, you're in the right fucking place. And I like what Dana says. If you want something, you just go get it and take it. Fucking fuck the world. It's yours. You own it. You know what I mean? Like this place is there's too much opportunity here in Las Vegas, especially for what you do, bro. That you couldn't be in a better place. You got to look at it like that. Do you look at it like that?
No, I definitely look at it like that. Like, fight capital of the world.
Yep.
Like, kind of just fell in it, and then it just worked out in my favor, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it must be. It's exciting times for someone your age, you know, young. And when I say your age, I only say it like that now because I'm fucking 53, George. And he could be my son. Matter of fact, you could be my son.
You've lived our life twice and 3 years.
Right.
So, like, we respect it. Like I think there's certain people in our generation that we just don't want to repeat history. Mm. You know, like we see a lot of like patterns that you don't want to fall into. And that's why I think it comes a little more naturally to us. We saw it all the time, like on our phones, like as much bad shit as there is.
Yeah.
There's just as much motivational, positive stuff that can, you know.
And that's what you have to focus on, right?
Direct your life. Yeah.
And strong community too, I feel like is a big help.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Is there a strong community here, a Filipino community here in Las Vegas?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of Filipino? What's like a dish? Filipino dish.
There's a lot of dishes.
What's your favorite one?
I like chicken adobo. Yeah, it's like vinegar. It's like the vinegar, basil leaves. Like it's just nice.
Yeah.
Honestly, pork adobo's fire too.
Do you speak Tagalog?
No, I'm fucking ass at both the sides of that. Like, yeah. I don't speak Tagalog. Yeah. I don't speak Spanish. Yeah. I just grew up here in the desert. Yeah. Barely speak English.
You barely speak English. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
I speak a lot of Ebonics, but I can turn it on and off.
Yeah. Do you go to the fights when you're here, or do you just prefer to watch them at home?
I prefer to watch them at home. Like, MMA fans are kind of the worst people on earth. Like I went.
I'm not allowed to talk about them anymore because the fucking I get destroyed online. Actually, I don't get destroyed online as much anymore as I used to. So thank you to all the fans that don't hate me like they used to. Man, I don't know what happened, but yeah, I know what you mean, bro.
Man, they're like, look, I appreciate the love and support, but I went to Colby Covington versus Jorge Masvidal. The amount of shit that was said in that crowd is fucking insane.
Speaking of that, that's a good segue into yesterday's press conference. Well, so there was a couple of cases circling back to Colby Covington. In martial arts, in those kind of press conferences, and I'm sure you've done them as well, is there a line? Is there a line that you should draw? Or is part of the game mentally fucking with your opponent to get that edge?
There's a line. I don't like this religion, family, wife, kids.
Which literally gets nearly crossed by everybody.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, Gervonta Davis and Rolly, they sold a lot. They didn't talk about each other's wife and kids. They just talked about how each other's, they would beat their ass. So, I mean, Conor and Khabib, I wouldn't have crossed that line. Yesterday's press conference, wouldn't cross that line.
Yeah, well, with Dricus du Plessis onto Sean Strickland or what Colby Covington said?
What Colby said to Leon. I think that was like a real piece of shit move. I think Kobe's just a piece of shit in general, though.
See, I think is he or is it just an act? Because
regardless, a desperate man, he's desperate for attention, obviously, because he can't sell a fucking fight. Mm. Like, so he has to do a bunch of things to, like.
So I'm gathering you're not a fan of Colby Covington.
No, like I'm a fan of his.
He's going down tonight, bro.
No, like I hope. I respect Kobe's skill set. What he did to Robbie Lawler is fucking insane. Like, nobody has done that to Robbie Lawler ever. But just as, like, a human being, like, where the fuck is your integrity as a man, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't see the part where he... So was it not in the post-conference?
No, it was in the press conference. He was I'm going to send you...
Was this...
No, it wasn't that.
Okay.
So you didn't hear what was said, George?
He basically said, I'm going to send you to hell. He was like...
Oh, yeah. That's where he was in the costume.
Yeah.
Okay, this was his like little segment yesterday. He gave his thoughts on it. I'm actually interested to see here. We're trying to turn you into a Colby Covington fan, Desmond.
No, never happened.
You know, let's see if we can do something here.
What about all the victims of the harm that Leon's father did to them? He was a sex trafficker. He was a drug lord.
Oh, this is pretty bad.
He killed people. The guy's a scumbag. Why would I feel bad for that? I have no sympathy for that guy. What about all the victims' families that live on right now that have to live through all the things that he did to them, how he tormented those people? So, no, I don't feel bad for him. The truth hurts, and that's why people hate me, because I'm not afraid to say the truth, and you know, the truth is what always stings the worst.
Ooh,
I mean, the truth was he's about to get cut because his fucking fighting style is boring as fuck.
Yeah, what's the thing with he hasn't beat a fighter under 35 in like 10 years?
Bro, he's not a finisher. He's a grinder, which is fine. But like he started talking shit because he's about to get cut. And so Brazil, he started talking mad shit about Brazil as a country. Whether it's true or not, like, fuck, bro, you're in Brazil. Like, if I come to someone's home country, I'm not going to fucking talk shit about the people. Fucking when I even make it back to the airport.
And then he hits him with he said, I was in character here at the face-off.
Okay.
You can't backtrack the statement.
Okay. Yeah, but let's take so he acknowledges that he said a fucked up thing, right?
Agreed.
So if your father's passed away, regardless of what it is, and both the men sitting here have had that happen to us, if someone says something about your dad, would you lose your fucking shit? Because I know I would.
No, I might jump him in the back.
Yeah.
Like, or like somebody, like, I don't know, man. Like, just don't do that type of shit.
Yeah. This would have been a good time for me to pull out my flick knife, but I left it in the car.
Oh, Marcus is exposed right now.
I have a beautiful... No, I was only saying that my good friend who is in the police force gave it to me as a, you know, as a gift when he came on the podcast. But so Las Vegas, UFC 296. We got a lot of people on the card. So let's talk about this one first. Let's talk about Paddy the Baddy, yeah? Paddy the Baddy. Now, let me tell you what I found from Paddy the Baddy this weekend from watching him in his interviews. I think that he has toned it down a little bit due to the, you know, he got a lot of hate from, you know, the way that he kind of portrays himself by the public. They don't like it. I noticed this time he seemed a lot more calmer. He's going up against El Kakui. When it comes to experience, Tony's got him. When it comes to just brutal toughness, Tony's got him. When it comes to someone that can absorb pain and keep moving forward, Tony's got him. When it comes to youth, obviously it comes in the form of this young man right here. Paddy's had a year off healing that ankle injury. Tony's had a 6-fight lose streak. So there's disadvantages coming in on both sides. On your opinion, where do you think this fight goes?
I think Paddy either knocks him out or submits him, personally.
Just strength-wise, or do you just think that...
Skill-wise, Tony hasn't been the same since his ass cut weight twice in a month. You remember that?
I do.
Yeah. I don't know why he did that, but...
And that was not long after he tripped over the wire and fucked his leg, too, remember?
Yeah. But he hasn't been the same since he fought Justin Gaethje, for real.
Do you think it mentally has affected him?
Oh, for sure. But if I'm giving him some leeway, all the guys he has lost to were either title contenders... We're in title contention or the champion at one point in time.
But what are you giving?
Except Bobby Green, but yeah.
Who's another one of my favorite fighters as well. What are you, unfortunately, that fight, last fight of Bobby's didn't go down too well. One of the worst stoppages in MMA history. But
oh my God, that was so terrible.
This is jumping back and forth between. So what do you got up there, Jorge?
Oh no, this was just the...
You were just doing a little...
The Paddy Pimblett, Tony Ferguson little...
Which way do you think that's going to go, George?
I of course know which way this is going to go. There's no way Paddy loses this fight. I don't like try to censor myself when I say this. The WWE contract signing really puts my mind into like the UFC does have control over like who they want to win. And Paddy's had a couple of fights that it's like
close to arguably he didn't win that last fight.
He's like, you won that? You know what I mean? So I think this fight goes the distance, and I think it goes back to scorecard fuckery. I think it's going to be another one of like the storyline of like, man, this dude just keeps getting by. And like Sugar Sean, though, he might just get that big opportunity and, you know,
yeah,
make that leap.
Yeah, he's got to throw sand in his face first, though.
Isn't that funny? But don't you love that about Tony? God bless him. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, he's a little bit, how would you put it in the most respectful way? A little odd, a little bizarre. But for crying out loud, aren't we all? I ain't the sanest person in the fucking world. Look at my set. It looks like the bedroom of a fucking 12-year-old boy.
It's all right.
So who else we got? Who else we got? Let's talk about...
Shavkat.
Oh, yeah, and Wonder Boy. Now, being a karate guy, I'm sure that Wonder Boy is definitely one of your favorite athletes as well. Do you like Wonder Boy?
I like Wonder Boy. I like watching Wonder Boy. I wouldn't say he's my favorite, though.
I think being a karate guy.
It's cool. It's cool to see, like, that style work, but you also see, like, the deficiencies in it, too, like, with that bladed stance.
Yeah. Opens you up a bit.
Yeah, when he fought Darren Till, those like knee stomps, and then you can't defend shots as well. But I mean, when he's on, you know.
Yeah, but one hell of a nice guy. If you've ever met Wonder Boy, it's like, is this guy for real? Is he really that sweet?
He's almost 40 though, right?
He is 40.
Oh, he is 40. Mm. Yeah, I mean, he's still fighting at a high level. So
yeah. Well, that's definitely one. So what about Cody Garbrandt?
Cody Garbrandt in the prelims taking on Brian Kelleher.
Okay. I think that should be a good fight for Cody.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to Cody. I was always, Cody was always one of my favorite fighters. I always thought that his style, his speed and his power for such a fucking 135, right?
Yeah.
Just a lot of power and just really a lot of skill. And when he fought Dominic Cruz and that was just, yeah. And unfortunately the TJ Dillashaw thing, but I was always a huge Cody fan. So I hope he does well. I'm not too sure. Is Brian?
Andre Feely's fighting on that one too.
Who is?
Andre Feely.
Oh, yeah. He's a Filipino guy, right?
No, he's Samoan.
Samoan.
Oh, he is yatted, this dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kid. Oh, yeah. Look at great tattoos. Heart. Ripped.
Yeah, it's going to look great on camera.
Fuck yeah, it will. Yeah.
And then Lucas Alameda. Oh, I see. That's a name I've heard, too.
Yeah, I've heard Alameda before. See, the thing is that the beauty of the UFC in combat sports, well, not the beauty of it if you're in the kind of industry that I'm in, when you have to remember every single person's name and weight class, it's a damn impossibility, right, George?
Oh, Marcus, they know. They know, right? Yeah. Like, it's even tough to remember the top 15 because there's just so many divisions.
And even pronouncing some of those names is hard enough, right? And who else have we got that's a standout on that?
Casey O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. She's Australian / Scottish girl that fights under Extreme Couture out here in Las Vegas.
9-1.
She's amazing. Who's she fighting, the Spanish girl?
She's fighting the chick from Brazil. She's fighting Ariana Lipsky. Lipsky does not sound like a Brazilian last name.
Mm. It sounds German.
Yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, no. And then obviously
there's another one. Oh yeah, the title. Brandon Weibull.
Yeah, and then also Brandon Moreno will be stepping in if something happens. Well, obviously the fight is going through now.
How late would you know? Do you know that
they would know now? Probably if something was happening, I'd say if he was sick or if he injured or something like that, they'd probably know now. But hey, you never know, right? He could trip fucking walking into the arena.
Yeah, or be like Robert Whittaker with like that stomach shit.
Yeah,
So who do you have, Pantoja or Royval?
Oh, I got Royval. Royval's a fucking dog, bro.
Yeah, I mean, the champ, I mean, arguably you could say the champ because he's the champ. I don't really know too much about, but what I do know about Brandon is exactly what you just said. He's fucking nuts. He's a dog. He moves forward.
He's got the best nickname, though.
What's the nickname?
Raw Dog.
Raw Dog, no shit.
Deadass.
That's going to be electric with Bruce Buffer boys behind it.
No. Oh, is he going to announce it as that tonight?
Yeah, I think so.
Brandon.
Raw Dog. I hope he throws a fucking pump as he does that.
Yeah.
Or one hand behind his back. Like, Raw Dog.
Or like a, he's taking off a condom.
Sorry, mate. I told you it was going to be a little unconventional.
like he's taking off a condom. That'd be good.
A what? All right, what do we got?
Then main card.
Let's go to the main card.
We already know where Desmond's standing on this.
Man.
Headshot dead.
Headshot dead.
Headshot dead. What are we going with here? What round? Can you give me how this is going
to
go?
All right, so realistically, I think for Kobe, it's either to go by decision. I don't think he's going to stop him with ground and pound. But I think Kobe will be able to take him down. Depending on how Leon's defense holds up, I think he could win. I think Rocky's going to stop him like the fourth or fifth. But if Kobe can win somehow, it's probably going to be like a grinder fight similar to Jorge. But he couldn't do any damage to Jorge, and I think Leon's a better athlete personally.
Mm.
So I think – and his skill set's a little bit better, so I think he could get up.
Great analysis. George?
I am – I have a prediction in my head that I'm making right now. Trump walks out 5 minutes before Colby Covington comes out. You get synonymous roars from the same fan base. Colby Covington wins by decision and then announces his vice presidency. And I'm not even kidding about that. He already said Trump's going to put the belt on him. So I think he's going to turn around and say, Trump, Mike Pence was a pussy. I want to be your vice president. If this comes true, I said it here first. This is 11:23 a.m. the morning of the fight.
Okay, that's it. You've said it.
You?
I think that there's, when it comes to the champ, I think after yesterday, there may have been a little bit of a mental loss on his behalf, because as soon as you, and you can attest to this, once you start getting emotional in this game, it changes things, right? Does emotion change things if you're stepping into a world title fight in front of the fucking lights?
Yeah, it can, but I think Leon's going to fucking embrace that dark side and just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was what I was going to say. It can either go two ways. I heard that Leon was in tears backstage yesterday, which is heartbreaking to hear.
Shit, I would be too. Shit.
Yeah, which is heartbreaking to hear. So,
but shit, he's going to take all those tears and all that shit. He's going to remember, and then headshot dead.
Yeah.
Speaking of headshot dead, George, you want to show the people real quick?
Oh, yeah. The true headshot dead. This is how much he loves Leon Edwards.
Times the tough enough cage. I said he's usually the smaller fighter.
Oh! Oh!
What did we say? Do not blink in this fight.
Wow. Damn, son. Look at him go. Fuck, good. He still doesn't know where he's at. How did I get down here? You knocked the fuck out!
Big overhand.
Wow.
Bang! Look at his head.
Oosh.
I mean, that's just incredible. Great job by Mark getting in there, so he didn't have to take any more punishment. The Matrix was going to jump in.
Yeah, that was definitely very...
step in to save his life here. We've seen him here.
That was definitely very representable of Leon Edwards knocking out Kamaru Usman. Wow. Now tell me exactly which part of the foot connected with what part of the head.
I think it was a foot. I thought my shin connected, but watching back, it was like the foot.
It was the foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what part of the head did it hit? Right on the jawline or behind the ear? Yeah.
It was like the jaw.
Did you know that once it connected that was it over Red Rover?
I've seen the body drop before, so it was like a similar motion, but yeah, his eyes were still open.
Yeah.
So when I went in for it, I was like, oh, maybe he's not.
Right.
But yeah, so he was.
I'd love to feel what that feels like.
I swear to God, bro.
I know I never will, but fuck, I'd love to feel what that. Sit him down. Fuck, I'd love to feel what that feels like.
It's pretty chill.
In front of the crowd and the lights and when you get to watch it back and you just fucking, you know?
Yeah.
That's a memory. Yeah. That's a core memory.
Yeah.
You have a lot of them. I'm not sure if they're on camera.
No, and a lot of them I can't remember either. I have to get reminded. But I've had some, a lot of ones. Nothing like that. I've never kicked anyone in the head. So man, first of all, I want to say it was awesome talking to you. When George came to me and said that you guys had a little bit of an audio problem and asked me if I'd like to fucking have a chat, I was all over it. Yeah. And I'm really happy that you came in. I like to talk to the younger generation, especially ones that are so accomplished like yourself, that have gone through, a little bit of a struggle and then are coming out and doing these amazing things with sport, representing your country and representing your dad and your people. I think it's really, really commendable. And I like to find out from my guests, what's your message, bro?
Fuck it, we ball. Let's do it, dude. Yeah. Like, do it all the way. Don't half-ass it.
That's great. I love that. People just need to fucking believe it and just do it, eh?
Fucking do it. Who cares?
Yeah, right. Where can people find you, bro?
You can find me at Dezzy Fresh. That's DEZZY 702 at the end too. On all social media platforms.
I like that lower third. Where did that come from?
I'm going to add it in the other room. Don't worry.
Holy heck. Geez, you get the full treatment when you got this man as an engineer.
Yeah, no, I used a lot of multi-views today. I like
you
it.
You did?
Yeah, yeah. All this little shit right here. What other fucking studios got shit like this, bro? I'm just popping around.
I don't even know if Joe Rogan's got it.
No. Jamie wishes he was me. He said headshot dead. I fucking pull up the clip. That's how good I am. All right.
Can you be my engineer? Oh, I shouldn't say that because I'll get in trouble from the engineer. I love everybody here. Everyone here is
great.
Yeah.
Hey, trust me. They all know I'm the fucking engineer. They all know, all right? I got that title.
Guy, bro. Yeah. Hey, guys, you're looking at my hat. You're thinking, what is it? RizPharma.com, just an online pharmacy. Yeah. An online pharmacy for your male wellness needs. Are you having penile problems? You can't get hard for mama? Then contact RizPharma.com for your dick hardening needs. Take one in the morning and satisfy the wife at night. No, but seriously, guys, if you're losing your hair, anything to do with male wellness, balding, you know, eat. I can never pronounce it. What is it? Erectile dysfunction?
Yes, ED.
Yeah, ED. These guys are the juggernaut. They get everything online. And if you use my promo code MDS, they're going to give you 15% off your penis pills. So make sure you go onto that. Look, guys, thanks again for listening. I hope you like it. I hope you like what we're doing here, man, because I really enjoy doing it. I want to keep doing it. And I just appreciate the support. Our numbers are just slowly going up every week, little bit by little bit. Slow and steady wins the race. And you know what? We are a small channel. I'm not going to lie. But we're growing weekly, and that's all I can ask for, and it's because of you, so thank you very much. This is Marcus Deegan shooting from Las Vegas. For the Marcus Deegan Show, we're out. The Marcus Deegan Show.